Patrick, mettila in mezzo Patrick, palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira, perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Il gol del capitano ancora! Ancora l'ultimo! Come Gigantino!
Podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher.
Wait, have we really started?
Yes, we've really started, mate. And I hope you keep that bit in where Maddie's like swaying around saying this is cool.
I just finger guns. I looked like a fool. Whoa.
This is ridiculous. So we're using a different program. Hang on, let me complete the intro and then I'll give a bit of background. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher, joined by Anthony Torgrud, live and direct from the Stadio San Siro.
Yeah, guys, I'm here on scene. This is not fake. I'm definitely here. As you can see, everyone else is as well, except for Oliver. Find me on Twitter at Torgrud45. We got Madison, and then Max, you could go after.
Yeah, we are all standing in the same exact spot, actually, outside the stadium.
But we can't see each other.
And we cannot. I don't know where you guys are. So go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Nice. And we've also got a special guest with us for this week. It's his first time on the podcast. You probably know him from Twitter. It's Maxi Angelo. Introduce yourself, mate.
Hello. My name is Maxi. I'm a writer for Sempre Milan. And I'm glad to be here.
And is it with two A's, Maxi Angelo on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. M-A-A-X-I, Angelo.
Yeah, perfect. Pleasure to have you, mate. Four of us this week. We're using a different program. It's called Zoom. We normally record on Skype, and there's, you know, three of us. It's the first time in a while there's been four of us, at least from what I can remember.
Since
Fredilo's big appearance. We need to get him back on soon. But yeah, this is cool. I like it. Obviously, you three are at the San Siro and I'm not. I've had to stay home and self-isolate because I've got symptoms. I don't really. Touch wood. I'm doing all right. But the other three are currently out in a high-risk zone. And I don't know why you're at the stadium because there's not going to be any matches for a while, lads. But, you know.
Right. Yeah.
We're camping out waiting.
Yeah.
Living on the edge.
We're each at a separate corner of the stadium. Just holding it down, you know.
And you've all got that same tram over your left shoulder. Yeah. But no, it looks pretty good. Messing around with the green screen and stuff, and I need to update my Mac OS, and that's why I look different to everybody else, because I don't have the facilities to do what those three do at the moment. So I'm a bit jealous that they're all where they are, and I'm stuck in my own kitchen.
But you had the facilities for that, big man.
Excellent stuff. And the other three wearing... Oh, hang on. Are you wearing a Milan shirt or not, AJ? I can't really see.
No, this is tie-dye. I know, it's green. Or tie-dye. Camouflage, sorry.
Tie-dye.
It's been a long week.
Oh, man, it really
has.
It's
going to be a long couple months, man.
God, yeah.
It's going to be a long episode. I can tell you that much.
I can't wait.
What are you lads... I was going to say, what are you lads doing to fill your time? Like, you know, there's no football or anything.
Yeah. Maddie and I, we're... Well, whoa, that's weird. But... What you can't see is I'm a couple in already. Looked like you got one. That's what we've been doing. Also, I'm really good at Call of Duty now. Been dedicating a lot of time to that. So,
I downloaded the new Star Wars game. Don't regret it one bit.
Is that the one with the redhead?
Yeah, and the campaign is great.
I've heard good things about it, yeah.
Yeah, man. I also downloaded Assassin's Creed, the one in Rome. The Greek
There's
one.
Like four. Oh, that's not Rome. Yeah.
I know. I lied the first time. But it was like $10, so.
Yeah. No, that one's really good. What is that? Odyssey? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's fantastic, actually. A lot of fun.
I really like the Assassin's Creed.
Maxie's back at home. Maxie, yeah, how's your trip home?
Got the first plane back.
Good work, mate. Good work. Need to lock yourself away now.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah. What have you been doing to keep yourself busy?
I've started back up my football manager career.
Oh, nice. With Milan or with someone else?
Nah, I'm Pro Vercelli in Serie C.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That is sick.
Yep, the road to Serie A has begun.
Better than Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a question for you. Like, because you're a Liverpool fan, for those who don't know, which is probably no one, what is it? How does it feel to like win the league by 27 points and still have an even bigger asterisk next to that?
Ooh.
I don't know.
I love it.
If it comes to it, it will suck.
All right. I mean, no one's going to like, well, everyone's going to say it's not a real win because there's however many games left. But at the same time, like, it's not pretty undeniable.
It's definitely not a real win.
Like,
definitely not a real title.
Oh, I agree. I agree. No one's going to count it because it's Liverpool, but it's funny.
So I think now what you're looking at, and this is really bad, the best case scenario is that they finish the season and Liverpool win the league, which they will, you know, even I'll admit that, but they do it behind closed doors and it doesn't happen like the whole 30
there's
years.
No celebration.
Yeah, there's no fans there to enjoy
but,
it.
But that would be better to win it without an asterisk. Because that
but you
would
do
be a
realize
though.
That everyone who like doesn't support Liverpool hates Liverpool. And so, like, if this was any other club, they'd be like, yeah, they won. But because
that's
it's
been,
Liverpool, they you know.
That's yeah. been abundantly clear, made to me. especially by you, Maddie.
There's going to be a lot of tension going on in this particular episode, isn't there? But, you know, it. Oh, Maddie, what the hell do you think about Everton being linked with Donnarumma?
What?
Okay, that oh, is some bogus.
That's just a slow mistake.
The Liverpool Echo put out a article that they are talking to Donnarumma, and then they put out another article saying Everton are not chasing him. I'm like, what's the point of this title?
Pickford's better anyway, of course. You know, England number one.
Yeah. Pickford sucks.
Yeah, Pickford's had a bad season. Like, I like Jordan Pickford. I always have, but he's had a bad season. There's no denying that.
No.
It is weird. Like, I'm starting to think now, where does Donnarumma end up? Because he's going this summer, I've accepted it. But, like, Real Madrid, Courtois had a good second half of the season. I don't think they could have been him off.
I honestly think that he's going to go to Juve. Italians don't do great outside of Italy. It's just the way it is.
Italians tend to not like going outside of Italy.
Right. You know, they're homebodies. Yeah. Nothing against it. Nothing against
they are right
Italians,
now, that's for sure.
But, like,
wasn't it Sarri who said that he wanted to go home after like 1 year at Chelsea?
Yeah, and so he's either going to stay at Milan or go to Juve.
Do you know what? Like, if he's going to Juve and he's going this summer, so we've got a bit of market value, would you swap him with anyone? Or would you just want the pure? Yeah, or would you just want the pure cash?
No, I'd swap him for Demiral. The option is to swap him. I mean. Well,
Dybala?
Nah, they're not sending him.
I'd take Perin.
Perin, he's at Genoa already, so.
Plus money, though.
He's on loan? I thought they sold him back.
No, he's on loan.
Do they have a buyout on it? I feel like they do.
Probably, yeah, they probably do.
Don't know, actually.
Yeah, it's worth looking into, is that. But I think Bernardeschi's going to come up. There's rumors
I've been linked a million times.
Or maybe Demiral, because his stock's going to be a bit lower after the injury that he's had.
It would have to be Demiral plus a fat stack of cash. Because You think we're going to let him go for a player worth 18 to 25 million max?
It's not about
what they're going to do. What they're going to do is sell him for the cash, but then agree that they can pay this much for a player because we need that income.
Yeah,
like, we need that income on paper.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Because it's pure capital gain.
Right.
A lot of the deals are done this way now. In that, they get the cash and then we use that cash. Sorry, we get the cash and then we use that cash on.
I've also seen a couple times, and I don't remember the sources because the news lately has just kind of not been top of the priority list for me lately. But that they were gonna get rid of FFP for the next window because of this.
I heard that they were going to lessen, that they're going to like lighten up on it. I didn't hear get rid of it though.
I can't remember who the source was. I'd have to look it up, but it was just like a one window exemption for all clubs or whatever for the next.
That is a very dangerous idea.
I think so too, but I feel like it would be.
They have to do it because financial fair play is calculated on revenue. Or one of the factors it's based on is club revenue, and club revenue is going to be skewed to shit because clubs aren't getting revenue from from
matches. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw today, but Dortmund players all agreed to take a very large pay cut.
I'm starting to
voted against it. The Barca players, like, interesting. I think it's
Union
shitty that they're
Berlin players.
They're not playing. They're not doing
didn't
anything.
Take.
They're not even training.
Aren't taking their pay at all.
And that's the way it should be. Like, if anyone could afford to not have a paycheck right now, it's a pro athlete.
Speaking about financial fair play, did you guys see, was it Daily Mail's report yesterday? That all top 10 clubs in the Premier League, except Manchester City and Sheffield, have lodged a complaint to CAS.
The arbitration. Yeah. I feel like City would be in there since they're kind of under heavy fire.
They've already got one up, and with
it was about City not getting an exemption. wanted the City to stay under their punishment.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
Yeah,
why didn't Sheffield United do it?
Right, you would think Sheffield.
I don't know.
They'd get a European spot with that.
Mate, Sheffield doesn't even have Wi-Fi. They had no idea what was going on. They've only just discovered running water in South Yorkshire, mate.
Yeah, Chris Wilder's too nice.
I love Chris Wilder. I actually love Chris Wilder.
Yeah, me too.
I don't mind Sheffield United. I really like the way that they've done it. I see how Sheffield United have done it and think, that maybe
I'd prefer Wednesday.
But Chris Wilder seems like a guy who's too nice for himself sometimes.
I bet he can be a nasty bastard.
Maybe. Is he Isaac?
No, I was going to say Maxi.
Oh.
I feel like as much shit as I talk to you in the chat, you're always positive back.
That's fair.
Yeah, same. He's never actually mean back.
Nah. I just joke.
The worst was
during this Mercato. Always when I posted something, I was like 10 minutes too late.
Yeah. Every time you posted something.
All of you always gave me shit for it.
I used to love doing that, man.
You used to love it. Still happens like once or twice a week.
Yeah, you post something and I'd go into the chat and say, do you know what I was just thinking, lads? And then I'd copy and paste your exact tweet and then just send it in there. That was good. They were good times. I do miss the market because it's kind of crazy, but it feels like we're in one at the moment with all the stuff that the papers are making up without any football. We're no closer to knowing whether Ranić's coming or not. If anything, it seems less certain now than it did a week ago when we last spoke. Says now that, I don't know whether to trust it, but both Milan News, Anto Vitiello and Corsport today both said that we're looking at three alternatives. I'll go through each one and you can each say yes or no and why. First one, Spalletti.
Yeah. We should have got him earlier this year, so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maddie?
Proven manager who knows what to do to go to Champions League.
There you go. Yeah. You have it.
I'm going to say no. No, if it means sacking Pioli for him. I would rather have the consistency and the continuity. You know, we spoke about it for ages, and I feel like a lot of the players like and respect Pioli, and he might also be the only chance we have of keeping Ibra around. Mm. So I feel like if we went with Spalletti, it is like another year zero, even though we're not.
If we go with anyone, it's going to be another year zero.
Yeah, but if we're going to do it, we might as well embrace it and get a Ranić or something like that.
I think, given the situation in the world right now, now's the time to make that year zero change. I know for the last like month and a half, we've been saying not to, but if we're not playing until September or whatever the idea is, you know, why would you not take advantage of that time to implement a new, better system in theory?
One of the hypotheses that's been thrown out there is that there'll only be a 40-day preseason from when the season ends to the start of next season. So I think that kind of, if that is the case, and again, it's just one of the reports that would work against it because you don't have as much time to implement, you know, your ideas tactically. You don't have enough time to work on the transfer market, all that kind of stuff. So perhaps if that were to happen, it wouldn't be the right year to have a complete overhaul. Yeah. And also money, you got to think money. Clubs are not going to have as much. There's people saying this is going to be a really boring transfer window when it eventually reopens because clubs are losing so much money. Mm-hmm. And I understand that.
Maybe it will bring players' prices back down.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I think so. Possibly.
Kill the inflation.
I think what it might mean is it'll be a trickle down thing, whereas big clubs don't have the silly money to throw at small clubs, and small clubs rely on selling assets to stay afloat, so they have to lower the price of that, and then you know that then readjusts everything on the market, and maybe for the long run of football, this could end up being a good thing, because it's like you say, it's a bit of a leveler in terms of we're not going to see Sancho go for 250 mil or something. It might actually just be like, oh, okay, Dortmund need the money, he's going for 50 mil. I don't know. We might see something like that.
So there's a really good YouTube video from Tifo Football. If you guys watch that account, check it out. Or if you don't watch it, check it out. But it was the question of, would less football be better for football in the long run? And it was a really fascinating video, and their conclusion was yes. And obviously that wasn't transfer market related given this scenario, but I think that is another boost. But check that out. I don't remember the key points. I watched it like a year ago. But yeah, maybe when everything starts back up, we see like re-energized, revitalized players that get a much needed rest. I mean, you see it in combat sports when a fighter fights back to back, their performances get worse because they're not recovered. And then when they take a year off, they come back and they're a machine. So I don't know. I could see that happening with us. And we just have like an incredible, not like us specifically, but just football in general, have an incredible season whenever we get back to it. That'd be nice.
It's funny because I read an article earlier today from The Economist, and it was something arguing, it was basically a bit of background, what sports fans want while there isn't actually any sport on. And they started going into sort of hypotheticals about what you could do to kind of fill the void. And one of the ideas was to find a bunch of really good athletes in a particular sport. So let's say most of the top footballers, touch wood, aren't affected by coronavirus, whatever. And, you know, have managed to isolate themselves in such a way that they're not going to pass it on. You can test them, they're not positive, etc. And then you have like an all-star game, you know, where you know that everybody taking part is not, you know, inflicted by the virus, and you televise that, and it gives everyone something to sort of keep themselves interested and stuff like that. It was an interesting article. I think it was called Bread and Circuses or something like that. But that was good because, you know, it is just getting a bit tiring watching reruns of the 2002-03 Premier League season.
Do you think that this opens the door for the European Super League to actually become a thing? I mean, if you look at it with UEFA and FFP, say they don't change anything with it, and everyone's revenue's hurt and they can't do anything, and then clubs are getting these suspensions that are going around, they just band together and say, screw it, let's do our Super League that we wanted to do anyways.
Well, there would certainly be there'd be a good argument for it this year in particular, because you could say, no, it should be a competition where you qualify for it and you earn your spot. Well, this year, nobody in theory has qualified for it yet. So you could say, let's do it based on UEFA coefficient or whatever it may be. And say, no, these are the ones who have really earned it because we believe in our coefficient ranking system and all that. I think a Super League's inevitable either way. I really do. I think that football's elite clubs have way too much say nowadays. But
Maxi had a visitor.
So that was my mother.
get her on. Ask her what she thinks about Ranić. wait. Oh, yeah, the second one on the list of three then was Unai Emery.
No.
I even say it with a
big old no.
No.
Not worth a restart for him.
No. So I think, you know, my initial reaction was a laugh, and the answer is no. The answer is a no. However, I think he would do better in Italy with Milan, let's say, than he did at Arsenal. I just think he would.
And PSG as well. I don't know. The one benefit to him I could see is if we somehow managed to still have Europa League next season.
He'd win it.
Because then we win it, we go into Champions League, then we sack him and have another year zero with a top coach for Champions League. That's the only way that would be beneficial, but it won't happen. Yeah, that's another thing. So say the league this year is just null and void completely. We restart it, and they just say we started from the top as last season, meaning how this season started. Do we now get Europa League since we forfeited last season? Do you think they would just make us forfeit two seasons, or would they say like, okay, you served your year suspension, albeit strange?
I don't think I know what you're saying. I don't think none of the ideas that I've seen are null and void in the season and nothing counts. I've seen cancelling the season, as in saying we're not going to play the remaining games, but the current standings count. Mm-hmm. And I know that's difficult because we're on uneven games in Serie A.
Right.
So that's going to be hard. They might go points per game average, in which case we are screwed. Because like,
yeah, but that's also like one of the, you just got to suck it up because how often does a pandemic happen? You know, it's not like...
Every 100 years, apparently.
It happened 10 years ago, too, with the swine flu.
That wasn't a pandemic.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Epidemic.
I thought it was a pandemic. Did it go worldwide?
Yeah.
Really?
But
I don't remember that. But
yeah, off about, topic.
It was not nearly as big as this one, though.
SARS. I think social media plays an effect in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on social media then, too.
Yeah, but this one's spreading faster. I think it's that.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. It is very bad. Like, we, as I sort of mentioned last week, we've been doing this like over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and sort of at the start we were half joking, like, oh, we might have played our last game of the season. Now I think we're all firmly believed that we have played our last game of the season, and things are getting more and more serious. Obviously, the death toll in Italy, the death toll around Europe and the world is rising.
Spain is just as bad as Italy right now. It's horrible.
Yeah, they're really struggling. Madrid in particular is getting mm-hmm. decimated by it, which is awful to see. You know, touch wood, England, even though people in England and people abroad have been sort of pointing and laughing at the way that we've dealt with it, I think we have enough faith in the NHS, in our health service, to kind of keep the mortality rate low. And, you know, like I say, touch wood, so far they're doing that. Germany, another one with good health service, we've kind of finding a way to just suppress the death rate. But other countries are not so fortunate. And I have worries about where else it might spread. Yeah, I mean, Kaká did that interview, well, not interview, he did an Instagram live and with Laura Pausini, who's the Italian singer, and he was saying that he's worried about Brazil. And I understand that, because if it gets into the favelas, which are really densely populated areas of poor people, and I think about countries like India and like Southeast Asia that are really, you know, poor, without wanting to generalize, they're poor countries with big clusters of people. I just think, God, if they get it.
India's in a lockdown now.
They need to be. They really need to be. The good thing is with India, they've got a lot of very good doctors.
Think about China, though. China's just as dense as India.
But the thing with China is they just all piled together and built a load of hospitals, and they were able to treat the people who got sick. And also, you don't know about China's numbers. I want to trust them. But I don't know if I trust them.
They say on Swedish television that no democracy can handle it like China, because only dictatorships can handle it like that. They drag people out of their houses and lock them in and stuff like that.
Yeah. What's it like in Sweden?
It's been controlled, but today it's I told the guys earlier that today it's hitting the fan, like 18 new deaths in Stockholm yesterday. They're predicting that it's gonna get a lot worse now, but Sweden acted kind of quick, so for example I've been studying on distance from home now 2 weeks.
Yes, you've been on lockdown for like 2 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
Whereas we did it more gradually, and a few people have criticised for that, saying that everything should have been locked down a lot earlier. But I don't know. There's so much to think about. It isn't, unfortunately, with governments and stuff, it isn't just looking after people. They've got other they've got to protect the economy. They've got to. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. You know, if they don't look after the economy, they're not looking after people. You can look at it that way as well. So it's really, really hard. We've not seen the worst of it yet. I think it might be like a couple of months until we really realize what kind of a direction we're heading in at the moment. So yeah, this is going to be a tough one.
About Italy, and I think Spain too, is it's kind of different culture there, because your old relatives often lives with you. So it's kind of different there. So that's why I think many older people get, what do you say?
COVID-19. Okay.
Die.
And obviously
affected was the word I was
looking for. Yeah. And also like Italy, have an older population as it is anyway. That average age.
The oldest in Europe, I think.
Yeah, it is. 13.5 million are over, I think it was over 65.
That's incredible.
That is crazy.
The country itself has 60 million. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's my head is low, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a sizable amount. It is weird because, you know, you read various things, people who are, with the absence of anything else to write, people who are writing, just imagine how good this is going to be when everything blows over and everything's back to normal and we get to watch, you know, Milan walk out onto the San Siro pitch and it's going to be like a massive celebration. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, will anything ever be normal again? Like, is this going to be one of those things?
I think every generation kind of has a thing. I think this is our thing, and our generation is going to become germaphobes.
Your generation, you're like 40, Maddie. I'm like 23. So please don't lump me into that.
The thing is, my family in Torino, they're saying like it's going to be a new normal there. Mm-hmm. They're never going to go back to how it was.
Yeah. I think it's interesting living through this because you don't really think about it at the time, but like this is something that'll definitely be in history books for kids, you know, years from now. They're going to read like this about like they did the Black Plague. We still learn about that in history. They're going to learn about the 2020s coronavirus plague. It's
what is mental to think about. If you look at how history, people say, well, God, I think it was Mark Twain who said history don't repeat itself, but it rhymes, sort of like how the same events happen on a cycle and we just can't get out of them. And you look at 100 years ago with the Spanish flu, that happened. There was global economic collapse off the back of that. Then there was a scarcity of resources, desperation, etc. Bang, Second World War. And it's like, yeah, there were other things that fed into all of those things, but I'm worried. Like, it's not just the suppressing of the disease. It's like,
there's a lot more.
Everything's
definitely
going to crash. Everything is going
to
crash.
I think we're better equipped to handle it now than they were in the 1920s.
I think that's a reasonable assumption.
Well, not just like with the flu, but like with technology for the economy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I noticed, $2 trillion or something is the package that's been put together. That's not a number that any of us can really fathom.
No. Well, Shannon and I are each going to get $1,200. AJ's getting $1,200.
Yeah. Be nice.
Is that just an arbitrary amount they've pulled out of anywhere? Or is it means tested? Or
so the way it worked, it was half a trillion, something like that. Half a trillion for every working class American. Right. And it was, I don't know, double that for married couples plus 500 per child or something like that.
Half a trillion for every.
I know. I'm sorry. It was obviously it was split up between everyone, but half a trillion of it was allocated just for businesses, which I thought was kind of bullshit. Like, big corporations, there was a smaller amount for small businesses, and then the smallest was, of course, citizens. I'm like, well, that's a little ass backwards, but
this podcast is all over the place right now. It's that half trillion is bullshit if the businesses don't use it to keep their employees.
I want to know if we're going to have to pay it back in taxes, if this is taxable.
I think we are.
I know that was the original proposal, which is why I got shut down the first time, and amongst a bunch of other stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, Sempre Politics. There we go.
Yeah, let's talk about the Primavera.
Yeah, that's what Max is it for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have at it.
No, the only reason that we brought him on here is to talk about the kiddies. Nah,
I thought you meant kittens. I was really confused. I'm like,
kittens.
What?
Kiddies.
Kitties, yeah.
Titties. Those. kiddos. Youngsters. To talk about the youngsters. So, Maxi, you're currently two-thirds of the way through a three-part series looking through three sort of stars who've been playing for the Primavera this season. One of them, actually, Daniel Maldini, he's basically now part of the senior setup to some extent.
He also has COVID-19.
Well, he's also got coronavirus, yes. Yeah, so
does Paolo, unfortunately. Mm. I don't know why I'm smiling, but...
You're like,
that's sadistic. That is sadistic. No, they're both doing all right, though, which is good to hear. Paolo says he's over most of the symptoms and just has a cough now. Daniel, the way that he said it was quite funny in the interview. He said that Christian, who lives with him, and he's obviously the flop now of the Maldini brothers, he said it like Christian was being overdramatic and was acting like he had symptoms even though he didn't. So I thought that was quite funny to listen to. But yeah, so first part was Daniel Maldini.
Yep.
We've seen a bit of him. I mean, we've seen like 60 seconds of him. We brought him on when we needed a winner against...
Quite a bit of time.
Don't think we got that winner either, did we?
No, it was for a corner. And it's like we brought on a 5'10" whatever striker or whatever.
What's wrong with people who are 5'10"?
Yeah, Ollie, what's wrong with us? Huh?
What's wrong with you?
You giraffe.
You're both a lot shorter.
Actually, fun fact, I don't think I told you guys this. I went to the chiropractor right before this whole isolation thing started. I got diagnosed with scoliosis, and he said that if my spine wasn't as fucked as it is, I would be 2 inches taller. So technically, I'm 6 foot, which means my kids have good genes.
Good for you. I'm 5'10".
Yeah, I just don't show it.
Back in all kinds of ways, eh?
Yep.
Scoliosis.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably the only person in the world to have smiled when I heard that. I was like, that means I'm actually taller.
You're sick, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's an interesting one. Can you get rid of scoliosis? Like, can they crack it out?
I mean, they could like realign you multiple times and slightly adjust it, but it wouldn't be a permanent fix unless I want to get like surgery with like fucking.
If you tie a horse to your feet and your legs,
not doing it,
and they start to walk slowly, it aligns your spine.
Oh, okay.
What's that?
Sounds good.
Science.
No, that's like medieval torture. That's what that is. That's a very hardcore punishment for mediocre crime.
Well, I heard that about when this.
Cool, man.
Nah, they do the thing, and this is a medieval torture. It also killed people. Well, they put you on a rack.
Yep, and it stretches.
And then, and they get a horse or a farm animal to walk in one direction and one in the other, and it just stretches you. Oh, Jesus, man, that makes me feel sick. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about that.
So, Daniel Maldini.
No, this is going to be funny because, you know, in the YouTube description where it says what we talked about, it's going to be scoliosis. This week's topics include AJ's scoliosis, medieval torture.
All over the place.
Yeah, that is mad. Daniel Maldini. I don't know where to start with him. Everybody knows his name, but maybe a few people don't really know what he's all about. What positions he play, what is he good at, etc. Just give us a little bit of a rundown.
He's mostly played the striker this season. He's not like a typical goal scorer. He's like a more roaming striker. Very smart, good movement. Can both assist and score. I can't remember. I drew some similarities between him and someone in my article. I can't remember.
Luan Capani and Lucas Paqueta, of course, was the...
comparison. Not much.
Yeah, we're not talking about that one.
But he's a very smart player. But he needs to toughen up a bit. Quite easy to push off the ball, which will not benefit him in the seniors. But he's definitely got potential.
I mean, I know he's a different player, etc. But you look at someone who's not blessed with the best size, but makes the most of it. Someone like Papu Gomez at Atalanta, who has just worked out how to use that low center of gravity. Obviously, the same assists, scores. Roman striker thing instantly always makes me think of Thomas Müller. In that he, different sort of physical profile to what Daniel Maldini is. But I got the impression from what I've seen online and certainly some videos that he can actually just basically play anywhere across the forward line.
Yeah, so, definitely. He's more of an orchestrator, I would say. He can play both striker and I don't know how you say
like
it in English. Central attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
But he has a really good eye for the game and knows how to execute that vision.
Do you think he'll be able to break into the first team at all in the next few years?
I don't think right away, but definitely long term.
Okay.
but he needs to build some muscle before, and maybe like a loan or something to get experience, mature.
Is he 16 or 17? I don't remember.
18 now, I think.
He's 18.
Oof.
It's like it's getting to that like do or die point. I feel like where in the next couple of years he has to
maybe have not a 18 moment. I don't know with footballers anymore, because I feel like you some of the biggest stars in the world were being judged very, very, very heavily when they were that age. You know, you look at Kylian Mbappe, who's only 20 now, 21 now, but at 18 he was an absolute world beater. And you know, you look at the likes of Jadon Sancho, Raheem Sterling was young when he broke through, all that kind of stuff. And
Donnarumma.
Players break through at different ages. I think it's more important than anything that you time that breakthrough right. You know, we hung on and hung on with Cutrone, and I still think that we timed his breakthrough correctly. You know, he was given an opportunity, and particularly in that first half season or so that we saw him, he took his chances, and he was a fan favourite for the time that he was here. And I think you could argue he was unfortunate in that we always decided to try and go with a bigger name, and we always tried to make sure that he was the second or sometimes even third striker. But with Daniel Maldini, it's going to be interesting, because strikers are never the finished article, never the finished package at 18 years of old. 18 years old, unless you're like a freak like Erling Haaland. And you know, even he is probably going to grow and get wiser, and that's going to be scary as well. So
he also comes with the last name of Maldini.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, his dad is Paolo, and his grandfather is also a legend of the club.
Yeah, you forgot his name, didn't you?
What?
You forgot his name, didn't you?
It starts with a C. I'm not even going to attempt to say it.
Maxi was just saying it. He just said it like three times.
Oh, I can't understand what Maxi says half the time.
Cesare in English.
I hear it a lot.
I just wonder how that's going to play in an effect in his development and mentality.
Yeah, what I think hope is that it's a help, not a hindrance. Go on.
Yeah, so I think it might be a little bit of a hindrance, to be honest. I mean, it helps having his dad in the role that he is, because there's obviously a bit of nepotism, whether we admit it or not. But at the same, like, because it's Maldini, there's this desire to not loan him out, to keep him a one-club player forever, you know? And that's probably not going to be beneficial for either him or us right now. Given the current state of the club, it makes the most sense to let a young player develop at a team that's not going to be held to the same standard that Milan is. You know, so I don't know. Unfortunately, and this is going to sound corny, but I think he's in the wrong era, you know? This is just a bad time for any youth player to be coming through Milan, except for obviously Donnarumma pulled it off and a few others here and there. But it's going to be rough for him. From what I've seen, and it's significantly less than Maxi has, but I haven't been the most impressed by him. I certainly haven't been disappointed, but I don't know if he's going to be bursting on and becoming a starter.
He comes on for a minute at the end of a game.
Right, I'm not really counting.
You're not going to see any qualities. His heart's racing, you know, like.
Yeah, and I thought that was a wasted opportunity for his debut as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was.
But the
thing is that when you watch the Primavera, it's very obvious that he's too good for at least the series they've played this year, the second tier. But he's really mature for his age, I'd say. But he still needs that experience and grow a bit. So like a loan or something would be really good for him, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
You can't expect him to be like a one-club player, because that will only harm him, not benefit.
I agree. I think it's just the name that's why people expect it. But in today's world, it's almost impossible to see that.
Yeah,
it is because he needs consistent senior playing time somewhere. You know, that's where we find out what players are made of, is when they go and start playing with adults. They start playing against big, stronger players than them week in, week out. You know, as you mentioned, Maxi, we've been in the second tier of the Primavera this season, and it's frankly a joke. I mean, we've walked to the title.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
At least one team's going to win a trophy.
We ought to like really go for, you know, we ought to really overplay how big that is. Start tweeting out loads of shit like
this. We all should go to Bismara and be like ultras or something like
that. Yeah. I am happy though, in a way, because the Primavera, they had a really, really disastrous season in 2018-19. We all know that. But they've gone down and they've overhauled, which they needed to do. And I just get the feeling that it might have been like almost like a spiritual awakening for them. And we've started to see shoots of recovery in terms of the players that are in there that are performing well. And yeah, it might be the second tier, but when you've got a player, and this is going to be the third part of the series, so we won't spoil anything, but a player like Marco Brescianini, who plays central midfield, and he's like the second top scorer in the entire team. He's the captain.
I also think the division and wins in a youth team are far less important than the actual playing time that the players get, the consistency they get, the lessons they learn. That's what it's more about, is developing them. More so than the titles, because no one cares about youth titles, really. And I don't think it's the most important thing for their development. Obviously, like, it's nice and it's a great accolade to have, but the important part is how they develop. And that could be done in the second tier, it could be done in the first tier, and it could be done on a losing team, it could be done on a winning team. It's just, there's more to it than just playing games at the Primavera level, in my opinion.
It's like your high school grades. They help you get into college or whatever, but after that, it's the college grade that counts.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, I think the big thing for Milan this season in the Primavera, when it became apparent we were going to win the league, was like who we get in the Primavera Cup, because then we could see how we hopefully get a top team in the first division, and see how we stack up against them. And I've said all that, and I have absolutely no idea who we got this season. So I need to look into that quickly, but
I actually don't either.
Yeah, no idea.
But I mean, speaking about poor results from the Primavera, I think that's one reason why I want Ralf Rangnick at Milan, because not only will he identify like young players on the verge of becoming great or something like that, but I think that he will link the Primavera and the senior squad better than most managers we've had so far, because he genuinely cares about the youth, and he's great at developing youth players. So I think hiring him would really benefit our academy. Then also, I don't know if you guys have thought about that, but I think that since like Leonardo and Maldini, we've really turned up our investments in the Primavera since the previous years. And I think also Moncada will be key to getting our academy back to where it once was.
He knows what he's doing, does Moncada. You know, obviously he was at Monaco. He helped scout some amazing talent that's come through there. Basically, helped put together that team that went on and won the league title not long after. And I trust him. He seems to have a good eye for a player, particularly young players. We have made, after a series of bad investments in the Primavera, you look at players like Bargiel, who came with so much hype, that Polish midfielder. We've gone for not even like proven players at that level, whatever, but the other guy that you wrote about, Luan Capani, we managed to get from Lazio on a free just by offering him more money. And he's another striker, but he looks really good.
Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant.
So I just looked up the kids tournament. Sorry to cut you off there.
No problem.
We lost in the quarterfinals to Fiorentina.
Yeah, I've also just seen that Inter got beat by Frosinone, and they're meant to be one of the best academies in the country. Inter are. It's an interesting one.
But Capani, we did beat some higher level teams, Sampdoria, Spezia, and Torino.
Torino on pens, I see.
Yes.
So do you reckon Capani is potentially closer to making a big first team impact than Maldini?
Based on quality, I'd say yes. But I also think at the moment, Capani has a harder time getting into the first team because of the alternatives there right now in the front three. Meanwhile, Maldini, I mean, he plays the same positions. So based on quality, I'll definitely say yes, because, I mean, Capani, he's unbelievable. I attached a video in the article, and I was like mind blown the entire watch of that video.
Yeah, people speak really highly of him, and I think Lazio were a little bit gutted to lose him, to be honest.
And the thing is that he was highly rated at Flamengo's academy, and he was in the same class as Lucas Paqueta and was it Vinicius?
Vinicius Junior, yeah.
And that speaks volumes about how rated he is. Mm. And to snatch him on a free transfer is a brilliant deal.
Especially if he ends up being something, you know?
Yeah.
We've been talking so much about what Gazidis wants to do with the club with regards to the balance sheets and capital gains, how important they are. He is free. He will go down as nothing on the balance sheet. And who knows, if his development goes right over the next 3 years, we might have a 30 million euro player on our hands. But I really like what I've seen of Capani from the videos and from what people have said. And like people like yourself have said, he seems to, where Maldini is sort of, despite his name, he's had to work hard and will have to continue to work hard with his frame and with, you know, the way that he tries to play, etc., to force out those first team opportunities. Capani seems like the guy who's just got the natural raw ability, and also he knows it. Like, he's got a bit, I've heard people say he's got a bit of arrogance about him, and I think you do kind of need that if you're a first team player if you're a junior player who needs to break through. You need to have that bit of confidence to say like, I belong here.
I read that too, and that's one of the reasons why I drew the similarity to a young Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because although he drops deeper to become more involved in the build-up phase of the attacks, he has that arrogance, he has that technique, he knows how to use his body. He's like, I don't know how much it is in feet or whatever, but he's 190 centimeters. And weighs like 82 kilos, so he's like a big dude. And he knows how to use that body to get past his opponent or whatever. And he's very intelligent too, from what I've seen, like the movements, how to draw out an opponent to create space for a teammate. So he's like a more, how do you say, flexible young Zlatan. Obviously Zlatan is like he's one of a kind. Capani is not like as good as Zlatan was at that age, but like just profile, they're very similar.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm looking forward to seeing what you write about Brescianini as well. He's always been the one that I've picked out as the guy, man. I don't know why, I just love him.
And their guy was exposed.
I think it's because I saw him when he came on at the Millennium against Man United in pre-season. I remember just thinking, right, let's keep an eye out for this kid because he's going to be... And he does look good. God, he looks
he's
good.
He's so good with the ball.
I think the future's really bright. And of course, you forget that we've got players like Pobega out on loan at Pordenone. And I think he's got a bright future with us. People keep comparing him to Castrovilli, whatever.
Yeah, and that's also an aspect of our Primavera seasons. We lost Pobega, Bellanova, Zajut. There are key players that we lost, but we still bounced back like we did.
Yeah, the thing is as well, like, he's had injuries most of the season. I think he recovered late in January, but I've said before about when we were in the market for a backup left back all throughout January, because it was clear that Ricardo Rodriguez was going. Leroy Abanda, who we signed from Monaco, is really highly rated by them, and they were gutted to lose him. I remember thinking, well, he's like 20 now. So, you know, we need to be looking at giving him a go as well. If we're playing him in cup games, you can shelter him for that first bit, and seems to me like it could work. But exciting times.
Yeah, it really is. I think as As I said earlier, I think that I mean, I hate the way we've gone about it, but if we get Rangnick, I think that it's the right choice to go with long term, because he, I talked with Matt and Martino about it, that he kind of is a similarity to when Liverpool signed Klopp. Mm. He will be good long term and he will be good short term. He knows how to identify stars who are on the verge of becoming great. He knows how to identify targets for Primavera to strengthen that. So all around, it would be good for the club, and he would link those two together.
Yeah, I hope he comes now. I really do. Obviously, it's been dominating the media, etc. But I figure if we're going to go reset, we might as well actually hit the reset button this time and not just go for a random sort of average Italian coach. No disrespect to all the predecessors that we've had. But I also get the feeling that Ranić's going to come in and say, and take no shit and say there's no room for sentimentality. Calabria, I don't care if you came through the academy, you're not good enough, go. Yeah. I really think we need that.
And that's someone needed.
It is. But I also kind of hope that Maldini doesn't go because of the roles that he's played in signing a couple of our more influential players this season.
Yeah. So also when a player like, or when someone like Maldini comes to recruit you and you play defense, you're like, oh, maybe he sees something. But Maxi, have you been paying attention to the Primavera for a while, or is it like just this year you've started to pay attention?
I've paid attention for like 2 or 3 years now. This season it's been harder because the second tier league isn't streamed as much as the first league. But I've managed to catch a couple of games.
So is this the more? Do you think this is the more promising that we've been recently?
Yeah, the last few years I've thought that we it looked kind of tired.
Okay.
But as always said, it's like an awakening now. Getting relegated, like it's not good enough what we were doing before. We need to act, and I think we've done that. Federico Giunti has made a great job as manager too. It's clear you've seen progress in players like Maldini, Bresciannini, the center backs. So I think that we're onto something about this project.
At the players that are in there now as well. Like people probably didn't know Matteo Gabbia's name before the season started, but he's one who came through, has bided his time and looks pretty good.
Yeah, I like him.
So fingers crossed.
And there's one guy that I particularly like who's not hyped at all. His name is Giacomo Olter. Mm. He's absolutely brilliant. There's been a long time since I saw someone like a prospect with that good of a passing foot. He's absolutely stunning.
Mm. That's good stuff. I'm looking back because we were talking about let's say 2 years ago, the players that were in the Primavera who were talked about, who were allegedly close to breaking through into the first team, players like Sadjut, I want to say.
Yeah.
There was Odu Amadi, who God knows where he is now. Gabriele Capani, Hachim Mastor, of course. Thiago Diaz, Bagiel, Povega, who's obviously still here. Zanellato, he was talked about a lot.
Bellanova,
as you mentioned.
Belodi.
Crociata.
Yeah, he's another one. Just all these names, and then none of them came through. And that's where it's been hard, I think. That's where it's been hard. It is really hard to fund and to run an academy successfully. But you know what? I'm more optimistic. Like I said, I think it's been a bit of an awakening going down to the second flight. So fingers crossed. And everybody tune out for the third part of the series. I'm conscious of time. I know that we've had like 25 minutes worth of political rambling, but you know.
I hope you guys stay till the end.
No chance. Not many will have done. So, yeah, we'll wrap it up and save some of the talking points for next week, because I presume we're not going to have any actual football to talk about. So, yeah, thank you if you did make it this far. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. You can find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher or at Kilpin Chronicle for some more explicit Milan-based rants. And they are getting more explicit by the day because I'm slowly losing my mind. And a lot of the explicit language is fired at Anthony Torgerud.
I mean, that's not true. but yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Torgerud45. It seems everyone's been deactivating their accounts given this quarantine because I keep losing followers. So change that. Get me back up numbers.
I could offer a theory, but I'm not going to.
I haven't even been tweeting that much. Maybe that's what it is, honestly.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Nah, I've been losing tons of followers too.
Yeah, that's deserved.
That's a lie. I think you've now got more than us.
This is exactly what I go through every day in the group chat.
You guys could go ahead and follow me.
Welcome to a day in my life.
I don't want to have a day in your life. Being a Liverpool fan for a day.
Comes from Everton, man.
I'll pass. You guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Lovely stuff. And Max, it's been a pleasure having you on for the first time. We'll have you on again, no doubt, sometime in the near future.
Maybe.
Go plug your Twitter again.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter is Maxiangelo, MAXIangelo. As it's
he doesn't spelled. Need the followers, but yeah, go follow him anyway. Go follow him anyway. Yeah, thank you very much for joining us, everybody, and we will catch you in a week's time.
Abate la rimette dentro, esce Radu, porta vuota, gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero, li abbiamo battuti tutti Alessio, grande Alessio, è bella la vita, lava quella zolla Alessio, lava la quella zolla Alessio, lava!